Welcome to another edition of Union Money. I'm Brian Hirsch, and this evening we're focusing on investments. 6 months ago, global markets reached their high. We're halfway through the year, and the MSCI World Index has posted its worst half-year performance in history. Many investors are shell-shocked. The good performances over the last 3 years have been forgotten. As I've consistently said on this program, it's not about market timing, but it's time in the market. If one goes back to 2000, there have been numerous occasions when the markets have been down, and yet, up to the beginning of this year, they've always recovered to new highs. And joining this evening is Gareth Stobey. He's Managing Director of CoreShares. Gareth, good evening.
And good evening, Brian.
Good to have you on the show. Gareth, let's talk about history. Is this time different, the events, but is this time different to the market?
No, I think absolutely not. Your introduction stole a lot of what I wanted to say tonight, which is around, you know, time in the markets is everything. I heard some wonderful research the other day where Morningstar analyzed financial markets over about a 25-year period. And to prove the point of how not to jump out the markets or not time the markets, they analyzed the returns of the market, was 13-something percent. And then they said, well, if you'd taken out the best 25 trading days from this 25-year period, your return nearly halved and went down to like 7%. So the point being is you have to be in the market, stay in the markets. Otherwise, you might miss those big, you know, bounce days. And very often those days of good returns can actually follow on immediately when you think, oh, you know, this market can't go any, you know, when you're most nervous is when it can bounce and start to recover. So to your point, Brian, really is one of those moments in our markets where you've got to hold your nerve and stick to your financial plan. By all means, revisit it. But if you're in the right asset allocation and you're in a well-diversified fund, you really should just stick it out.
Yeah, interesting. You talk about 25-year period, yes, and being out of the market half the return. I can tell you, if you look at 5 to 6 year periods, from 2002 to 2008, and in 2012 to 2018,
yes,
if you've been out the market 30 of the top days in that, something like 1,800 days.
Yeah, there you go.
Your returns would be negative.
There you go.
People always think there's a bell. Someone's going to ring a bell, and now everyone must get in.
Great.
When markets rebound, that first 15 to 20%, yeah, people miss completely.
Yeah.
But you know, the phrase really is, how are the markets doing? I mean, the question is not really about the markets, is it? It's around about the companies that are in that market. I mean, people talk generally about the market,
yeah,
but the market's made up of companies.
Correct.
And particularly global. You look at global funds, yeah, global, and you look at South African. So it's how the company is doing. And I mean, we've got a big period coming off now. We've got the month of July is big, because first we've got inflation numbers coming out in the USA on Wednesday. And then we've also got to understand corporate results. And, you know, I know that we led by what happens and whether the analysts expect a certain return and companies disappoint.
Yeah.
And the markets are very harsh on companies who miss their projections. What is your view? Firstly, interest rates. Let's just talk a little bit about interest rates in the U.S. And why is the U.S. interest rate so important and will affect global markets?
Well, start where you left off on U.S. interest rates. I mean, obviously, that sets sort of the base rate and the risk-free rate for most of the world, doesn't it? I mean, a lot of capital markets are priced off global interest rates, and the U.S. in many respects sort of leads that agenda, as they have done since the global financial crisis. For South African investors, it's particularly important in terms of the carry trade, and obviously investors are looking to our market for yield. But if they're getting more yield in their market, then our market is suddenly slightly less attractive. So there are lots of inputs into equity markets. I mean, you talk about company results, that's obviously a critical input. So too are interest rates and how you are evaluating those equity returns. And then, of course, sentiment. You know, are we in an environment with a lot of positive sentiment, a lot of confidence in the economy, or not, as the case may be? But the other trick is that when all of those answers seem obvious, then very often the market behaves in a totally different way, doesn't it? And so you can never quite get it right. And so that really speaks to our whole mantra. When we sit with a client, we try to build a strategic asset allocation framework, working with long-term data, I spoke about 25 years to the last 15 years you spoke about, but looking at long-term data through time, and what should one reasonably expect from equity returns from South Africa, from abroad, from bond returns, property returns, and so forth, and how do you best bake that into a solution that will meet a client's outcome? And we follow quite a strategic, systematic approach to that, making sure the client's well diversified at a single security level, at an asset allocation level, and that asset allocation combination is going to leave the client with the best opportunity to meet that goal, which is often an inflation-linked goal, inflation plus 3 or inflation plus 5 as the case may be. And when we go through that process, it's very important that the clients are taking enough risk, that they're not suddenly, because we've gone through this terrible six-month period, or they're inherently a very risk-averse person, they need to ensure that they've got enough risk to meet that inflation target plus some.
Yeah, there's an expression that says, a good general takes you where you want to be, and a great general takes you where you ought to be.
Exactly.
And I think that's what advisors are a little bit nervous of. I mean, we've got FASE, the Financial Advisor and Intermediary Services Act, which says make sure you're investing appropriately, make sure the client understands risk. Everyone hears risk. And if you go back to 2019, 2020, everyone heard risk, but they just saw Morgans running. Now, this six-month period, everyone's heard risk, and they're not realizing that that's the risk they've taken. But if you look at the returns up to end of December, I mean, the markets were, international markets were doing anything between 16 to 20% a year, which is a lot higher than what one would ever expect. So people are giving back. The difficulty is with people who've come into the market the last 6 to 9 months because they haven't had that upturn, So your business core shares is very much passive.
Correct.
It's not about picking stocks. It's about using exchange-traded funds and the likes of those type of instruments.
Correct. So our investment philosophy is premised around a number of key tenets. So the one aspect is around asset class returns. And as I was explaining earlier, making sure that you've got a strategic, systematic framework that's going to best help deliver those results that we were just talking about. Then in terms of the actual index design, making sure that the index is well diversified, that we're running these products at low cost, because we, as an index fund business, we are betting on lower costs through time. So, of course, if you're saving 0.5% every year on your savings product, that's banked money every year, and that compounds through time, the same as returns compound through time. So it's keeping costs low, making sure that you're diversified both at a securities level and at an asset class level, and then being strategic and systematic around that approach. More recently, passive firms have also obviously adopted ESG and looking at sort of sustainability factors around a portfolio. So whilst we're passive, you're active from that point of view. So we manage all asset classes, listed property, global equity, local equity, local property, and we put together these solutions in this systematic way.
Gareth, it's been very difficult globally to have a proper diversification strategy. Mm. Bonds have been expensive, property has been difficult, you can't get much interest in any money market type accounts. So have your funds been more geared to equities, and are they still geared to equities, or are you finding some ability to diversify at this point in time globally?
Globally, I think that challenge has been a lot harder than locally, because globally you've had this bizarre scenario for a while. It's coming to an end now of negative interest rates. But locally, the challenge hasn't been as difficult, because you've had balanced funds where you have been able to get yield in our bond markets. We've got a vibrant credit and debt market as well. Not very easy to track in index products, mind you. But there has been the ability to diversify as a balanced fund manager here across a whole variety of asset classes. You're right. When it comes to the equity components of those strategies, the offshore component rather, that has been quite equity heavy. And to find diversification there, perhaps in some of the credit markets, and that has been pretty tough. But equity markets have given such good returns of late, haven't they? It's more than made up for that.
How do you feel about this particular statement? Many institutions have said they've downweighted equities, but they've got such a weight of cash coming in from all the different products and all the various other investments they have. So equities have come down, they've got more cash in, So have they really downweighted, or was it just more cash coming in and markets coming down? So your percentage of equities is lower, but not necessarily because there's been a sell. I mean, have institutions actually been selling equities?
I couldn't tell you decisively. I don't have that stat at hand. But how that cash is managed as it comes into a portfolio is a deliberate decision by the portfolio manager. So it is a way of going over cash if you wanted to. I mean, when we manage our balance funds, if for some reason we want to be deliberately overweight cash, then we can use cash coming into the fund to do that. And it's an effective way of doing it rather than actively selling the securities and trading those stocks and creating costs and so forth. So cash flow management, as we call it in the industry, is part and parcel of portfolio management. So it should be feeding into their strategic framework and what they're trying to deliver in the portfolio.
Institutions who are getting cash have the advantage, but individuals who invested in the market,
yeah,
if they want to be downweight their equities, I mean, the fact that the market, they've actually got to sell.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. You're watching In Your Money this evening. We're talking investments. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.